County Commission meeting. Please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, we ask for your blessing today. We ask for your blessing for the citizens of Butler County. We ask for your wisdom and guidance for this commission as we make decisions in the best interest of Butler County residents. We also ask for your blessings and your protection and your safe return of our men and women who are fighting in faraway lands for our freedoms. We ask this in your name. Amen. Again, good morning. Spring is coming. No more snow. That's by resolution for the County Commission. Start off with Dave.
Need a second on that?
Yeah.
The first item for approval is Kyle Station Meadows Subdivision, Section 8.A. This is for 15 lots.
Move to approve.
Move.
Second.
Move.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
The second item is Walden Pond Subdivision, Section 5, Block B. This is in Fairfield Township. It's for two lots.
Motion?
Move approved. Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
And before we continue, I just wanted to let everyone know that Mike is a little under the weather today. He called in and said that he's got a touch of the flu, so hope he gets back to us again. Next, we have Dave, and soil and sediment control standards.
Me again. Basically, we just wanted to give the board an update today of a project we've been working on. We are in the process of updating our county subdivision rules and regulations. We haven't made any changes to our rules in about 10 years on our subdivision rules and regulations. And basically, the subdivision rules and regulations provide standards for developers and contractors regarding new home and commercial subdivision construction. So in our regulations, we have standards in there for roadway construction, requirements for water and sewer lines, and then another element has to do with soil erosion and sediment control. And the reason I guess that's kind of important is with the sediment erosion controls, that kind of helps prevent dirt and erosion from getting into our streams and creeks. It also helps control erosion and sediment getting into our storm sewers, which if our storm sewer pipes get full of dirt, we have to clean that out, and there's a cost to the taxpayers. And also, it's just a quality of life issue, especially if you've moved into a new subdivision. Nobody likes to drive through the streets full of mud and dirt and tracking all that on their brand new carpets in their cars. So what we're going to do today is just talk about what changes are upcoming. There will have to be a formal public hearing and a letter of adoption. Basically, the packet I gave you just shows that these rule changes have been approved by the County Planning Commission. That's the blue sheet. The second sheet, the yellow sheet, is a letter of support from the Ohio Valley Development Council, and they represent our home builders. And Jennifer and Kevin and their staff worked a lot with the home builders on tweaking these regulations. And then after that are the actual regulations themselves. So with that, I was going to have Jennifer Deaton come up and speak. She really worked directly on adopting these, coming up with these rules and regulations. If you have any technical questions, you can ask her. So.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Jennifer.
I'm Jennifer Deaton. I'm with on the Urban Specialist for Butler Soil and Water. Before I get started, I wanted to introduce, we have several of our board members here today. Tim Hasselbrock, Barb Reisenhauer,
morning.
And Etta Reed is our newest member on our board. These are three of our five board members. Kevin Fall is our district administrator, and Doug Dirksen is our urban technician. All here to show support and be available for questions if you might have any.
Thank you.
As Dave had mentioned, we've been working for quite some time on getting these regulations updated. We just wanted to put more detail in there on what we're expecting from developers and home builders on the plans as well as out in the field when we do inspections. Our existing subdivision regs, I think, have 6 pages in our section. We now have over 20, so we just wanted to give a lot more detail on that. There have been changes in the Ohio Revised Code recently. There was an addition of enabling legislation allowing counties to go down to 1 acre of disturbance as opposed to 5 acres, which is what it was before then.
When you say disturbance, what does that mean?
Of ground disturbance, exposed soil, bare soil. And, of course, agriculture activities are always exempted from these type of regulations currently. There has also been, through the Ohio EPA and the NPDES, the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, they have a new construction general permit that has been implemented since 2003. And that also requires erosion control for any acre, 1 acre or more disturbance, as opposed to 5 acres as it was previously to that. Another thing that we added into this is there are many special notes that we put on the subdivision plats. If there are soils that indicate high water tables, if there are wetness in there, we require a special note for that. Just a beware to the homeowner that there may be special precautions that may be necessary. In other words, sump pumps would be necessary. If the soils are very steep and if they are slip prone, we require geotechnical studies be done. And that's just to ensure that that hillside is stable enough to withstand the weight of a home on there. We certainly don't want any hillside slips that often happen in Hamilton County most recently. And also, we require a compaction test. If they are to put more, for example, more than 5 feet of fill in an area, we require that that be tested to ensure that it's going to be stable also. So those type of things are the additions that we added to our subdivision regulations. Another major change is the per-lot erosion and sediment control. Again, I mentioned that we will need to be requiring any 1 acre or above needs erosion control on it. So therefore, we'll be looking at each individual home lot and making sure that they are have the proper erosion controls on that site. Now, that rule is 1 acre or above. Now, most residential lots are less than an acre, but they are a part of a larger development plan. Therefore, they must comply to this. Over the last several months, we have met with the Ohio Valley Development Council, and in turn, they have met with home builders, and we have incorporated their comments into these regulations. We also met with a commercial developer and an engineer to look at it on a commercial standpoint, and we again adjusted our regulations to incorporate their comments into that. I'd be happy to answer any questions. That's kind of a brief overview of the major changes that we made.
Well, how does this fit in with the stormwater runoff that the engineer does? Does this fit together with that?
Very, very closely, yes. We worked very closely with the engineer's office. They are the overall permit holder for the county in those areas that must comply with that. And then the erosion and construction site, development side of things, is one part of 6 items that they need to address. So we are taking the, modifying our regulations to help adopt for them as well.
Okay. That's a state mandate, right, or a federal mandate? I'm
yes,
not sure.
Yes, federal and then state. So.
When you look at our changes, how do they reflect with the surrounding counties? Are we the same, or have higher standards? Are we, you know?
We very closely mimicked the state standards, which is what the NPDES permit is and what the engineer's office are working with. So regardless of what the county standards are, the developers must mimic what must have what the state is. We are very in line with them, and we work very closely with Warren County, Hamilton County, and Claremont County just on various projects, and we are pretty much in line with what they have adopted. And the Hamilton County actually is in the process of adopting new regulations themselves.
Mm-hmm. With regards to, you say you're working with the home builders, how are we going to notify all the different builders and developers? You know, I understand that, you know, working with them, but, you know, they have their communications. Are we have any type of plan to communicate the new changes to our developers who are on record? Or?
Yes, we do. We've been working with the building department and are trying to fit into their workflow for building permits. So as a builder comes in and applies for a building permit, they will also apply for this lot erosion and sediment control permit. And we are, I have a sample plan in the back, I think it's Appendix A or B, of these regulations that show a plot plan and the items that we would like to see as far as erosion controls. But, this is just kind of a sample.
But when a developer comes in or a builder comes in, is this going to be a surprise to them? That
No, we are hoping to do, you know, officially these regulations will not be adopted or fully put into place, you know, 30 days after the adoption. Between now and then, we hope to do dry runs. As the building permits come in, the plot plans, we're going to be making phone calls to those home builders and explaining to them why we're doing this and what we're expecting on the plot plans and that such forth.
What's that? Yeah, I think I was going to suggest that we send out a mailer to everyone who's, you know, the building permit last year. Or
maybe the Home Builders Association mailing list or something like that.
Right. But yeah, even though, that's a good idea. And even to put it on our website under the planning department or the soil and water, you know,
right.
Wherever a developer or builder is going to be looking, you know, we're going to get the phone calls, you know, from a builder saying, you know, when did you spring this surprise on us?
Right.
You know, this new. And when you get a permit, is it going to cost money to get the permit?
We are hoping to initiate fees, but that is at our actually next Monday's public hearing. We have another resolution to incorporate that. For a per lot permit, it'll be $30 per residential lot, $100 per commercial lot is what we're hoping that the county will adopt. And then for a subdivision, we're looking at $75 per disturbed acre and $100 per disturbed acre for commercial, $75 being residential. And again, those public hearings and resolutions will be presented on Monday the 26th.
Yeah, the next two meetings, yeah.
Yes.
Now, does that fall in line basically with the neighboring counties and so on?
It does. We contacted our neighboring counties here in Southwest Ohio as well as Northeast Ohio and even the Columbus area. And, you know, in Ohio, there's certainly 88 ways of doing things. And we try to keep it as simple as possible as well as being reasonable as far as what amount that we're asking for. And it does fall in line with what that is.
Will you have a breakdown as to where this money, the $75 or whatever the fee is, where it will go to, what fund and what that's going to pay for?
We should be able to present that on Monday, however we who presents it. We've been working very closely with prosecutor and Derek and all of them to get that
Mr. President.
Done
yes.
correctly.
Kevin, doesn't the fee will just go into as a source of revenue in your accounts, but can't you use that for matching dollars?
Yes, actually it was just the fees are not soil and water's, the Board of Supervisors fee. It was actually a county fee.
Yeah.
And mainly that is the reason being because of our great partnership and how soil and water's work is that we also have a close partnership with the Soil and Water Commission as well as the state legislature. And for basically every dollar, and it all starts with this county commission board that we get that state matched.
So we'll pass it through to them.
As to each dollar state matched. So on the fee schedule, from soil and water standpoint, it was a recommendation, but you know the board could choose to raise taxes across the board, charge a fee. And so obviously, you know, as pretty assured we weren't going to raise the taxes for everybody but charge those fees for the ones that it would be affecting. And so Derek asked and we got those suggestions from all the other counties and gave a recommendation as to what those fees should be to not only cover that cost and then we could do it for close to half the cost to the county.
So So what happens if fees come into to the general fund and then you allocate the fees to them as part of their annual grant, then they can use that dollars to match to leverage more dollars?
Correct. Just as an instance, I mean, basically last year, for every dollar the commission gave the Soil and Water Board, turned into, you know, $4.14 of cash paid to the county residents. That wasn't the services or the salaries. That was just through the grants and the programs and the cost share assistance for natural resource concerns. So this would be set up that same way as all the other programs that the Soil and Water
does. Talking about that, what do you estimate the annual revenue would be from these new fees?
$130,000. Between $130,000
and $150,000. Okay. So you can get more than a dollar match for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't, per our budget and what we figured out we needed, we didn't request that amount. We just, because we could do it for that state matched amount, we only requested what we needed to do.
The program.
Yeah, because basically, you know, the current budget recommended this last year when I prepared that it would cost a little over $200,000 to run the program. But with the state matched dollars coming in from the legislature, we only requested, I believe, $120,000 extra.
So what they did was roll back the fees. So when you get the match, you have the total operational dollars they need to implement this program.
Correct. And it does fall in line with definitely all the other counties. For an example, Franklin County, they would do a fee structure that they'll charge you between 1 and 5 acres a certain amount, 5 and 10 a certain amount, 10 to 30 a certain amount, and then $20 per lot on top of that, plus every time you go out to do an inspection or a plan review, there was another fee, and it was all jumbled. So what I did to compare those was I took the same subdivisions from start to beginning, and the $75 an acre and $30 per lot came out to almost exactly the same, just being much simplified.
Can you give us a little comparison between the surrounding counties?
Preble does not have one. Warren is currently trying to update theirs, but theirs was once again based on an amount of inspections. It was an inspection fee plus a plan review fee. We talked with them closely, and some of the concerns they had and we didn't want to get into is then every time a developer or a home builder sees the Soil and Water truck, it's like, oh man, I'm getting charged again. You know, we didn't want to have that negative connotation. So basically we just figured out what it would cost to do the service, no matter how many inspections there were, no how many review changes there were when these guys make reviews and request changes. And then it's just a paperwork nightmare to keep track of every single time you charge a fee. And once again, we compared them with that, as well as Hamilton. Their Soil and Water do not charge a fee. They have a geotechnical engineer, but they run it through that way. And theirs is called, what's the regulations called? Earthworks program. And they fund it through the Earthworks program to do the same type of work.
I remember years ago when Etzel Harris was here, and he was the first one that was partnering with Building and Zoning.
Yes.
To go look at the lots.
Yes.
As development occurred, to make sure the soils were okay to build on.
Right.
And this seems to be just an outgrowth of that.
And actually, that is one of the points I wanted to bring up, is basically, you know, this is an odd partnership, but one we're very proud of. For one, it's very efficient. Within our same office, we have local, state, and federal agencies right there that they call a conservation team. And literally, those are all from the top down, where this, it took the initiation of the past staff, the Soil and Water Board and the commission, as well as the other agencies, planning department, the county engineer, all saw that this need was there for the county and its residents. And now, so many years later, this is just a culmination of, you know, being built from the ground up to provide this service to the county and its residents. And yeah, I think that's, you know, something to be very proud of, and it seems to be working really well. It's just a continuation. And also to show the technical skill and ability with all the things coming down the pike with erosion and sediment controls and all these new permits with water quality, to stay up and ahead so that you know, value of life in the prospering county here, Butler, just stays up.
Well, you go and look in like Liberty and Westchester, where you go through the subdivision, there are so many roofs, so many paved streets,
right,
so many parking lots.
Right.
That becomes more technical, and you have to have more retention and detention, and yeah.
And that's basically what, you know, Jennifer and the urban staff and Doug, since he's been here for a year, making, you know, revisions and whatnot, have just put that more detail in, because six pages, it was really vague.
Well, and some of the lots that they're getting, you get down to in a developed area, you get the less than easy lots to build on, which have more issues with landscape or contours.
Correct. And I know when they started, everybody was trying to get over the issues of, you know, soil and water was basically ag getting into this new regime and program, that it wasn't at all where anybody's trying to stop or hinder development. I mean, that's literally the bloodline of this county, is that growth and development. It's just making and ensuring that it's, you know, done according to all state and federal guidelines, and we can provide these locally to ensure that for the residents in the county.
So that's, the public hearings are Monday and then the 12th.
Your next two
meetings.
Well, I think that it would be helpful to have a comparison.
Yeah, can you give us a comparison?
You know.
Oh, yeah, and that's the summary that, you know, you requested, and I think it was passed along when we were starting all this, but I have all those.
Bring those for Monday.
Yeah, definitely can.
The other question I have is, you know, I'm a builder. Well, I'm not a builder, but let's say I was. How much more is this going to cost me tomorrow than it does today? All these regulations.
You're building a house.
If I'm building a house, what you know?
Well, I guess if you're building a house, you could assume within a subdivision, there's $75 an acre disturbed, and say it's a third acre lot. So right there's $25. The building lot for the builder would be $30. So right there, it's a $55 difference. The one thing we tried to say, and it's definitely cost effective, and
the actual products on the field.
Right. What regulations is going to add to the cost? You know, do I have to do something that's going to cost me money that I don't have to pay for?
Of doing business, no. Besides that permit fee, because they're mainly general specifications and technical things that they have been pushing for and getting compliance with voluntarily and through the processes there are through the NOI and EPA.
If I may. Mm-hmm. I think what you're asking is I have my third acre lot and I'm going to put my house on it. What additional cost is the silt fence or whatever BMPs may be required on there?
Additional, right.
For a smaller lot, it's really very minimal. I think silt fence, you may have to run maybe say 100, 150 feet of it, which is like $4 a foot to install. If you happen to have a catch basin in your yard, a yard inlet, you'll have to frame that with 2x2 wood and put silt fence around that, which again is, I don't know, total cost of something like that is $10.
I see the silt fence. I guess what you're talking about is something that surrounds the property, right?
Like black or orange.
How effective are those? I look at them and I've seen them and I'm thinking, well, this is just a bunch of baloney.
Like sometimes.
Well, it looks just like, you know, some bureaucracy saying, oh, you got to put up this fence. But, you know, most of the time I look at the fence and it's, you know, hell, it's just put up.
And that's why inspections are so critical, because if it's installed correctly, if it's entrenched down, you don't see it flapping in the wind, it is going to hold back that water and pond it enough to have the sediments drop out before it filters on through. There are other alternatives to silt fence. There are coconut logs, which is basically an 8 or 12-inch log of coconut fibers, and that filters just like silt fence does. But if you happen to run over it occasionally, it's not going to totally tear it up. If you run over silt fence, of course, it needs to be repaired right away.
You're only, of course, talking about lots that need those kind of things.
Right.
Every lot would need that kind of stuff, right?
Right. And you don't need to surround the entire lot either. If your lot slopes to one corner, you generally just need it in that one corner. Or if you have a stream in your backyard, you need to protect that stream.
But that is
so there are other alternatives.
State put a mandate, so you're just getting, you're conforming with.
Oh, I understand.
Stuff's only needed until the ground settles and you get grass and all that kind of
exactly.
stuff, generally speaking.
Once you have your yard established,
all
of those can be removed, because grass is the best management practice to leave the sediment on the site.
The other thing we like to see it as is, this is up front. A lot of the other part of the office's workload is handling residential calls, erosion issues, and all those things. So hopefully we have lots less of those to deal with if we can handle it up front. So there's a cost effectiveness in that too, as we think.
Now, is there any action, legislative action? I got a resolution here. Is that to be to do?
Gary Sheets said we can't get it adopted.
Until after the public hearings
meeting, and meeting. It's actually be a public hearing. So
okay. So it'd be after the public hearing.
So today's just for information.
Okay.
Purposes.
Very good.
Well, thank you very much.
And I just wanted to thank not only Jennifer and Doug and the board, but also the county staff. David has been excellent to work with, along with Mike and Bill from the planning department, as well as a lot of Greg and his staff from the engineer's office. And Gary Sheets has been a huge asset to this whole process. So I just wanted to thank you guys for all those staff people as well.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to communications.
Okay, the first would be approved minutes from the February 15th meeting, approved travel and training, three care facility actions, county engineer amend resolution, advertise for bids for uniform rental program, award contract for widening of Cincinnati Dayton Road to John R. Jurgensen Company, amendments to pipe and wire license agreement with Norfolk Southern Railroad Company, execute contract for sodium hypochlorite, carbonate, aluminate, and wastewater polymer, execute contract with Howell Contractors under finance transfers and appropriations. Increases, job and family services, accept payroll and child daycare contract with First Church of God and a miscellaneous. Approve Title 4D service contract between Butler County CSE and Juvenile Court. Approve offices being closed last week for inclement weather. Receive and refer bids for pharmacy services. Receive and refer bids for GIS GPS road centerline project. Approve imaging agreement with Summit County. Approve Title 4D service contract between Butler County CSE and Domestic Relations Court. And approve proposed option to lease a corporate hangar at the regional airport.
With no questions or changes, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Chuck, do you have anything?
I don't have anything this time.
Anybody else want to address commission? Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.